The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker of Century 21, Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Happy New Year, and welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm here with my co-host and husband, fellow realtor, Patrick Devaney.
Happy New Year, Jackie.
Happy New Year. Do you have any goals?
Not really. I'm very happy with what I got. Wait, I'm going to lose 20 pounds.
Are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I just say I'm going to.
Well, that's a popular New Year's resolution, yes. So I would not be surprised. We are here today with Tom Cawley, CPA and partner of Cawley, Johnson & Sanders in Clark Summit. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you and you, Patrick.
Thank you very much. You already lost your weight. So any other New Year's resolutions?
No, I'm pretty close to perfect, so I don't really have to do anything.
Wow.
Keep on can't moving. Be that. They can't get you it when
can't
you're moving.
Be that. No.
That's not on my script, so I didn't have an answer
oh,
for that.
Oh, okay. All right. Caught you off guard. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. where we discuss real estate topics. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been listing, selling, and appraising real estate for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you're at jruddy.com, click on the Dunmore Corners live webcam tab and see what's going on at Dunmore Corners.
View our listings, search the MLS listings, or listen to archive radio shows by going to jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, which is also mobile friendly. Remember to look us up on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Tom Cawley, CPA and partner of Cawley, Johnson & Sanders, can you give me some background and history on you and your company, please?
Yes, I graduated from Wilkes University in 1991. I became a CPA in 1997. I have been a tax preparer since 1998. I worked for a gentleman by the name of David Haldeman in Clark Summit. I then also worked there with my partners, and we subsequently formed Cawley, Johnson & Sanders in 1999. So I guess I'm an accountant. I should be able to figure that out. I guess it's about 15 years that we've been practicing at our location in Glenburn. I do primarily tax work and tax planning and financial accounting. I do not do any auditing. My firm does not do any auditing. However, short of that, we are a full service accounting practice. We have 9 employees. 4 of us are certified, including the partners, and then we have some staff and a secretary. We're located on 1310 Lackawanna Trail, Clark Summit, Pennsylvania, just outside of Clark Summit, between Clark Summit and Dalton.
Well, you're here to talk about taxes, and this is the time of year where we're all starting to think about what we have to do in the next couple months to get all ready. And not a topic that is one of my favorite, but nevertheless, we have to take care of these things in life, right?
Yep, you got a death and taxes, right? The two things you can't escape.
And you're our tax expert. You have seen so many different things change over the years, the tax laws, and you keep, I know you're on top of everything, and you do our personal and business taxes, and we appreciate that. And we know that you spend a lot of time on that. So we're going to talk about buying versus renting. I think maybe we can talk about that. For our listeners out there, what is the potential tax break for owning a home, and how can one calculate what that might be?
That's a great question, Jackie. There is definitely advantages to buying a home as opposed to renting. But first and foremost, the biggest advantage is probably not tax related. It's just to be an owner of a home and have something that is yours, and you're not paying that monthly payment towards someone else's mortgage. You should be paying it toward your own mortgage. But from a tax standpoint, The biggest thing is it gives you the ability, often gives you the ability to itemize your deductions as opposed to taking a standard deduction. And what that amounts to is the standard deduction for a single taxpayer is $6,300. It's $12,600 for a married couple, and it's $9,300 for an individual who would file as head of household. Oftentimes, without a home, a taxpayer does not have enough deductions to get to the point where they would itemize their deductions because what's allowable would not exceed the standard deduction. Once a taxpayer buys a home, they have two big tax deductions that come with that. One being their mortgage interest, and the second being real estate taxes. So that often gives them enough deductions to exceed the standard deduction, and they would then itemize. That also opens up the door for some other deductions that normally would not be taken by someone who does use the standard deduction. Again, today's environment does not automatically mean that you will be itemizing if you buy a home. And that's again, because the interest rates are so low today. Back when I bought my house in 1989, interest rates were 11.5%. So if you had a mortgage of $100,000, you were going to pay $11,500 of interest in the first year. Today, you can get that same mortgage for $100,000, sometimes at 3.25%. So that's only $3,200 of interest for the year. So that doesn't always equate to enough of a deduction to get you over that threshold to take and itemize your deductions as opposed to a standard deduction. There's also another big advantage to buying versus renting, which is tax related. However, it's not federal tax. I'll probably get slammed by the local governments when I say this.
Are you going to get slammed by the school board?
Maybe. However, the local income tax rate can play into someone's decision as to whether or not to buy a house because they could potentially move out of a jurisdiction that they live in, which is a higher tax jurisdiction, into a lower taxing body. For example, leaving the city of Wilkes-Barre and getting into the outskirts, or leaving the city of Scranton and getting into the outskirts of Scranton. If you live in the city of Scranton and you're a married couple, you're paying 3.4% local income tax. And if you make $80,000 as a couple, you're going to be paying about $2,600, $2,700 of local income tax. You move into a 1% tax jurisdiction, that same $80,000, you would pay $800 of local income taxes. So there is a savings right there of about $1,600-$1,700 a year, which is almost $150 a month. So when you're looking at what the cost of renting is as opposed to what the cost of a monthly mortgage payment is, you have another $150 a month to play with. You did ask about the potential tax savings on the federal tax return and how could you calculate that. That's a hard question to answer. But in generality, it is the difference between the standard deduction and the itemized deductions times your tax rate. And, you know, in the United States of America, we have a graduated tax scale. So some taxpayers are in the 15%, some are in the 25%, the 28%. So it's a bigger tax break for someone who is in the higher tax bracket and then it is for someone who might be in the 15% tax break. But nevertheless, if you are able to itemize your deductions as a married couple and that deduction is $6,000 or $7,000 more than a standard deduction, you would save $7,000 at 15%, let's say, would be $1,000 of tax savings. So if you couple that up with maybe a move from a different tax jurisdiction to a lower tax jurisdiction, you could be looking at a couple $100 a month in savings, and that takes that, you know, $800 monthly rent that you're paying and drops it down to $600, and you could possibly get a home for a mortgage payment that's in that ballpark. Especially with today's low interest rates, you know, that really keeps the monthly payments low.
The mortgage interest rate is a tax deduction, and from time to time in the past, the powers to be in Washington, D.C. looked at, you know, possibly eliminating that. And, you know, of course, NAR, the National Association of Realtors, and PAR, the Pennsylvania Association of Realtors, and the real estate community were up in arms about that because, you know, obviously it's an incentive, it's a benefit. And I think, you know, home ownership, it's an important asset to home ownership. Do you see anything happening with that? Any talk about it?
No, I don't see that coming to be a big change in the tax code. I think there's probably a lot of lobbying groups out there that would be heavily opposed to that. You mentioned a couple of the realtor associations that try the bankers too.
Yeah.
You know, the bankers associations would really not want to do that either. They need to get money out onto the street. And the only way to really get money out to individuals is through mortgages. You know, commercial loans is one thing, but for individuals, mortgages. The other big deduction that goes with that is real estate taxes. And real estate taxes, again, depending on where you go and the value of your home is how much those are. And that can increase your monthly outlay of cash for your housing allowance. However, once you own a property, you have to look at the mere aspect of ownership and the increase in the value of your home. Whereas now you have your dollars are working for you and not for a third party. There's very few people who have rental properties and rent them out and they don't increase in value. So they get this increase in value, which is their return on their investment, and it's paid for by a third party, a tenant. You know, you can do that all for yourself when you own a home. You're going to make that payment and that investment on a monthly basis. But hopefully your home is going to increase in value and you win at the end. Even if in the beginning it's to buy a smaller home to give yourself that stepping stone to buying something a little bit bigger in the future.
So if I own a condo, I pay taxes and I also pay homeowners association fees. Are those fees deductible?
Homeowners association fees are not deductible. And that's a great question, because there are HOA fees not only in condominium situations, but there's a lot in gated communities and things of that nature. Real estate taxes, to be deductible, must be a tax that's assessed based on the value of your home. In a condominium association or a homeowners association, the annual fee is the same for everyone. So it's not based on the value of the home. So that is not a tax. That is not deductible.
Okay.
And, you know, I want to say that I want to make the point that when you're buying a home, the first several years of homeownership, you're paying your mortgage. Most of it is interest. Is that correct? Is that a correct statement? And for how long would you say that payment is mostly interest?
Again, that depends on the terms of the mortgage. So it would depend
on... Say a typical 30-year.
On a 30-year mortgage, I don't have an amortization schedule in front of me, but it's probably significantly interest for at least the first 10 years or so.
I would say that,
yeah,
too.
I would think so, too, right?
Interest is a function of time and principal. So every month when you make that payment, a little bit more goes toward principal and a little less toward interest.
Interest, right.
But it might only be a couple dollars a month for the first few years. One way to, now that you mentioned that, one good way to get that paid down quicker is if someone can get a 30-year mortgage and make one extra mortgage payment a year.
One extra payment a year
would normally cut off about 7 years off of their 30-year mortgage, because again, it's a function of principal and time. So they're paying down more principal. When they make that extra payment annually, it's all principal, because they've already paid the interest for that month. There are also a couple of other deductions that you can take when you itemize. And one of those is mortgage insurance premiums. That's another big...
Private mortgage insurance.
PMI, yes.
Okay.
And that's a big issue out there today. And that happens because more and more often today, banks are trying to get individuals into a homeownership situation. So they are letting them put a little bit less money down. They're financing more of it. And if they don't reach that threshold, I believe it's 80% to value.
Loan to value, right?
Then they have to get this insurance in place. And that insurance can be a significant amount of money. And that is deductible as well. It's deductible the same as mortgage interest. However, it is phased out if your income exceeds $100,000 on a joint tax return. It's phased out 10% for every $1,000 that you go over $100,000. So it's deductible, but that's always what they tout is that it's a deduction, but they never have that fine print except when.
And some of these loans, it goes away when you hit the 80% loan to value, and some loans, it doesn't.
Yeah, and that seems to be a trend right now. I thought I read something or heard something recently that once it's on there, it's always there. And I don't know if you have to
It depends on the loan.
Yeah, if you have to get a new appraisal or if it's based on the value when you bought the home. So once you get to that 20% equity, it automatically drops. That used to be the way that it worked. The problem then was if you didn't bring it to someone's attention when you got to that 20%, they just left it on. Yeah.
All that money.
The bank didn't really care because they weren't the ones charging it. It was an insurance policy. So somebody else was guaranteeing
that. You have to be your own advocate.
Your own advocate, always.
Always, right. And life is busy and people forget.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm not sitting there staring at my mortgage statement or my homeowner's insurance and itemizing it.
But as the tax man, okay, would you recommend, and I mean everybody's situation is different, and speaking in general terms here, would you tell somebody that's looking to purchase a home to go for a 30-year mortgage, and then if they could swing in one extra payment in a year, that would be better than taking out, say, a 20-year mortgage? Again,
yes and no, but that is really a personal decision that has to factor in a lot of things. That decision is going to consider a lot of factors. I always tell my clients that today's environment out there, money is cheap. Borrowing money at 3.25% or 3.5% is almost like getting free money. So what you really have to look at is what's your affordable monthly payment? And if you think you can afford to make that extra payment a year, however you don't want to be locked into a larger mortgage payment every month, then take a longer mortgage and strive to pay it off earlier. You could also get a 20-year mortgage, maybe 25 years. It doesn't just have to be 15 or 30. There's a lot of options.
Right.
The lower, the less time that you take the money to, the interest rates drop. So you may get a lower rate on a shorter term mortgage than you get on a longer term mortgage. So it's kind of a personal thing. And what are you able to afford comfortably? I try to advise my clients to still be able to live after they do that stuff. It doesn't do us a lot of good to buy a home if we can't put food on the table we put in the kitchen.
Right, you don't want to be house
poor.
And
enjoy life and do these little things
Absolutely.
In life. Go out to dinner, take a little trip, so on and so forth. We're headed towards a break. We're with Tom Cawley, CPA and partner of Cawley, Johnson & Sanders. Pat, would you like to review a listing, please?
Yes, we have a great deal on a well-maintained three-bedroom home at 2013 Price Street in Scranton for only $39,000. This home has a newer roof, replacement windows, excellent closet space, covered front and rear porches, and a nice yard. You can own this house for less now than you are paying in rent, right? We're just talking about this.
Correct.
And the taxes are only $1,300 a year. So this would definitely be less than rent. That's a well-maintained three-bedroom home at 2013 Price Street in Scranton for only $39,000.
And how can someone reach Cawley, Johnson & Sanders, please?
Our phone number is 570-563-1140. My email address is tomc@cjspc.com. Again, that's tomc@cjspc.com. And we do have a company website at www.cjspc.com.
Thank you, Tom. We'll be back in a few moments. Stay with the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. In today's real estate market, there's no doubt buying and selling a home is complicated. It can be thrilling and exciting too. Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. And when it comes to real estate, you need to be confident you're making the right decisions. I am confident we have what it takes to help you make those right decisions. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate has been helping buyers and sellers for over 40 years. So we've invested the time to know and understand the market. We're great listeners, skilled negotiators, and we focus on every detail, giving you the highest level of service. Call Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate today, 344-6724, or visit jready.com. Plus, tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Don't go it alone. Call 344-6724 for Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. We're back with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, and with Pat Devaney, my co-host, fellow realtor. Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. We're back with more tax information.
Tax information. Tom Cawley, CPA and partner of Cawley, Johnson & Sanders. Good morning again.
Good morning.
First half of the show, we talked about a lot of benefits of home ownership. Is there anything else that we need to let the listeners know regarding tax deductions?
Yeah, just a little bit more about the mortgage interest. It's often asked if you can write off the mortgage interest on a second home. And the answer is yes, you can. Mortgage interest is deductible on your principal place of residence, which is your primary home, plus one additional home. And oftentimes that's a vacation home or a second home, maybe at a ski resort or in St. Martin.
Outside the country, I can write it off?
Sure.
We better go buy some.
Oh, yeah.
We'll buy two because they're small.
That will give you something else to do the next time you're at St. Martin. There is limits, however, on the deductibility of mortgage interest. And if you get to the point where you run into this limit issue, Patrick, you'll be doing very well for yourself. You can only write off mortgage interest on your principal residence and your second residence up to interest on $1 million of indebtedness. So when you buy that next $1.5 million home, if you're fortunate enough to finance $1.4 million of it, you will not be able to write off all the interest.
Do you know the house I grew up in Brooklyn? We moved out of there. It's 2 one-bedroom apartments. Do you know what it sold for last year? $1.7 million.
Wow.
For a little tiny drive around a half hour looking for a parking space. All right, get back to it.
That wasn't your mom and dad that sold that, so you know.
No, we
that's
sold
not
it
coming
in the
to you.
No, we sold it in the 70s.
Yeah. I have only run into that issue one time in my career. And it happened to be in an audit. So I did get to know quite a bit about those limits because I actually had to educate the auditor on it too, because he didn't really know what he was talking about. But it's $1 million of acquisition indebtedness and an additional $100,000 of home equity loan interest. And home equity is another option that taxpayers and homeowners have as far as financing some additional purchases, things of that nature. You know, if they have the equity in their house, they can get a home equity loan that's secured by their home. So it's now mortgage interest. And they can use that to maybe buy a vehicle where that interest would not be deductible on an auto loan. However, that's not as popular as it used to be because you can get a lot of 0% interest loans from the car manufacturers. But one area that a lot of people do find refinance their homes and get a little equity out is to extinguish credit card debt. And that's still a burden for a lot of people where the credit card debt is a high interest rate. And if you can get some money from a lender at 3.25% and pay off 8%, 9%, 12% credit card debt, you're in a winning position at that point. Another deduction that you are potentially able to do once you own a home is a home office deduction. Not as big a play as everyone thinks it is, but it's always on the mind of everyone that I talk to that's thinking about buying a home. Oh, I'll be able to take a home office deduction. That is available to homeowners. However, there are some relatively stringent rules on when you can deduct expenses for a home office. And let me first preface that with the two biggest expenses related to your home, interest and real estate taxes, you're already deducting those on another place in your Schedule A, not subject to any limits. The deduction for the home office deduction would be limited to 2% of your adjusted gross income. So you would never move interest and real estate taxes from above that area on the Schedule A to down below it. However, if you do truly have a home office, you will be able to deduct things like utilities, homeowners insurance, heat, telephone, repairs and maintenance, to the extent they are for the home office. So it would be a percentage of the amount of square footage used for the home office versus the entire home. The one thing with that, though, is it does have to be the principal place of your business, used exclusively for business.
Yeah.
So, Patrick, you cannot write up a listing on your dining room table and say that you have a home office. That won't quite work.
Yeah, well, Jackie's working from the home office hours every day. But like you said, it's not the primary place. The primary place is the office.
And it does have to be exclusively used for that. And I have had audit situations where an auditor has gone to a taxpayer's home to see that home office, to see that it's not their den with a little table in the corner, or as in my father back in the day, who was an insurance salesman, did his paperwork at his bar while he watched Notre Dame football. That office has to be for the convenience of the employer. That's really one of the other things that qualifies that a home office deduction. So that's not as big a deduction as it used to be. So we did cover the limits on the mortgage interest, and we did cover the ability to write off the mortgage interest on a second home. Not as really relative to most people who are contemplating buying that first house, but down the road, they might get to that position. There is one other issue. It slipped my mind for a second there, but seller assist. That's a big issue, especially in the real estate world.
Because that's the norm. And let's explain to the listener what seller's assist is.
What happens is the price of the home is increased slightly.
The sales price.
And then the seller gives an assist back to the buyer for the amount, basically, that they increase the sales price.
To help pay the buyer's closing costs.
Well, yeah, they disguise that as to help pay the buyer's closing
costs. But it's legal, it's
yes,
ethical, it's allowable.
I think it's as much to get the buyer's 10% equity in their house, because they're going to borrow a little less money and the cost of the home is now a little bit more. The two things that have to be really be met is that the price that you escalate that sale price to has to meet the fair market value. So it has to appraise at that number.
Right.
And secondly, is it has to be agreed upon by the seller. That's not always the case, but that does not have as big an impact as it once did, again, on the sale of a primary residence because of the tax-free gain on the sale of home residences.
So is there a tax liability to the seller when they accept a price? Is there a tax liability to the seller when there is a seller's assist attached to the sale?
I don't believe so. I always treat that as a selling cost. And it gets netted.
It is
out.
An item on the settlement statement.
It's on the settlement sheet. It is a selling cost. Right. The seller never gets that cash. So it really isn't part of the proceeds. Okay. It gets netted out by adding it to the cost basis of the home. Not as big a problem as it once posed because of the tax-free gain treatment on the gains on the sale of home residences. So that is something that's becoming, it's a big thing out there right now, but I think not only does it help to pay the closing costs, but it also gets the buyer to that 10% threshold. I've seen that referred to as a banker's assist in the tax world, because that's really who's benefiting from that is the banker, not the buyer.
It benefits all because we get it sold, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, thank you, Tom Colley, partner, CPA, Colley, Johnson & Sanders. Once again, your contact information.
My email is tomc@cjspc.com, And my telephone number is 570-563-1140.
Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.
And have a happy new year.
Happy, healthy new year.